In the name of the one who loves us more than we love ourselves, in the name of the one who gives tranquility to the hearts of the believers, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome once again to another episode of Open Talk. I'm your host, Sayyid Waheed Alawi. As you know, we have been discussing the different dimensions of jihad. We have been discussing the military jihad, the spiritual jihad, which is also called Jihadul Akbar, the greatest struggle against your inner self. And today we will be discussing another important dimension of jihad, which is the cultural aspect of it. And we have Sheikh Muhammadi with us in the studio. Sheikh Muhammadi, assalamu alaikum and welcome to our studio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thanks for coming over once again. And in London we have Sayyid Musharraf Husseini joining us in London. And as usual, our co-host who will help me in hosting this program, Ms. Sadeqian. Ms. Sadeqian, assalamu alaikum.
And my salams to you, brother.
How are you today?
Alhamdulillah, inshallah.
I hope that you're fine.
Thank you. Mercy was created by Allah, the most merciful, in His name. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, companions and friends of Open Talk, which tries to help us aim greater and come up with better concepts, inshallah. Stay with us after a short break.
Don't despair and never lose hope, 'cause Allah is always by your side, inshallah. Allah, He's never far away. Put your trust in Him, raise your hands and pray. Oh yeah, Allah, show me the way. Inshallah, 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 we'll find our way.
Inshallah, we'll find our way. Thank you for watching Open Talk live from the holy city of Qom, Sahar Universal Network. Viewers, don't forget the ways you have to contact and keep in touch. Just two or three of your comments on Facebook. Thank you for supporting. From Sister Mehvish, to the question. To the question, how could we achieve spiritual internal jihad? Sister Rukaya, thank you. Internal jihad, she says, internal jihad is to have control on your soul, to stop yourself from wrongdoings, to control yourself from what is not right for you to do, but your heart says, go for it. Thank you, Sister Rukaya. Thank you, Sister Hope Victory. Absolutely, it's time to think about the internal jihad. So lots of people believe that jihad is shedding the blood of the innocent people. Thank you. And thank you all your brothers and sisters for your supporting. Brother Waheed, yes. These weeks we have a great support of our viewers, and I really appreciate that.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I hope they keep on being in touch through our Facebook and Twitter. So, Sheikh Muhammadi, some aspects of cultural jihad is, for example, Muslim clothes or Arabic words used by Muslims in the West, or the opposite. We have foreign Western words like French words or English words used by Muslims in Muslim countries. These are some aspects of cultural jihad. But before we go into those aspects, Could you please shed light upon cultural jihad and what it means?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Like always, I'd like to open my talk with Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Cultural jihad, just like other types of jihad, is the sort of jihad which is a striving and a struggling for preserving and saving the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which cause? The cause of that Allah subhanahu the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by which tries to reach and tries to cause human beings to prosperity in this world, both in this world and in the hereafter. So jihad is striving for the cause of Allah, to reach this cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So but the enemy, as you know, is different. Sometimes the enemy or the method that the enemy uses is different. Sometimes the enemy uses, you know, physical and material weapons, you know, as you said, the military jihad that we talked about. But other times, our enemy or the enemy to this cause that I mentioned uses other types of weapons or attacks with other ways and methods. In this case, enemy bombards you, but not your houses, not you yourself, but your culture.
Yes.
Attacks you, but not your, you know, for example, your lands. Try not to seize your lands,
no,
but tries to
change your mentality,
yeah,
maybe
to change your mentality, right, to change your culture that is based upon Islam,
the Islamic values,
Islamic
of that
values,
society,
of course. So defending this sorts of attacks and struggling and striving in order for defending from Islam or from the culture that Islam adheres and holds is cultural jihad, or sometimes counter-attacking the attacks that your enemy is initiating on you, is about to wage a cultural jihad or cultural warfare against you. So counter-attacking or initiating an attack towards your enemy is called cultural jihad.
All right. Sheikh, as you know, our friends are not always Muslims. We have non-Muslim friends also. And in some countries, we are the minority. Now, some parents, for example, do not allow us to have non-Muslim friends because of the cultural influence they could have. Is it allowed, according to Islam, to have non-Muslim friends and to mix with them? And to what extent are you allowed to mix with them?
Before getting into the answer of this question, I would like to refer to a very important point beforehand, which is, you know, there is a sort of differentiation between Islamic culture and Muslims culture. There is a difference between Islamic culture and Muslim culture, or Muslims cultures. What is the difference? The difference is the following, that, you know, the culture that is governing the culture that is coming from what? The culture that is coming from Islamic teachings, that is coming from Islamic doctrines, Islamic rulings, jurisprudential rulings. Yes. The spirit that has been taken from these components of Islam, the spirit, the social spirit that governs on Muslims, this is called Islamic culture.
All right.
So, for example, the concept of hijab, the concept of modesty of women, this is Islamic culture. But what is Muslim culture? Muslim cultures, or Muslim culture, Muslims culture, is the culture that is governing a certain number of Muslims that are not essentially, or that are not, basically built upon Islamic principles
or values.
Or values.
They may be traditional.
Yeah. So they are coming. From traditional background or a certain, a number of Muslims or their nationality or
Sheikh, could you give us some examples? Now, in the beginning of the program, I gave some examples of cultural jihad and what it could be, like clothes and Arabic words used by Muslims in the West and so on. Could you give us some examples of cultural jihad before we go into depth? Just sum them up.
Okay, for cultural jihad?
Yes.
For example, for culture, as you said, I will talk about this more, but just to refer to some of them. For example, these Arabic Islamic words that have been used by Muslims in the West, or the way they dress, it's a sort of culture. I'm not saying that it's an Islamic culture, the general concept is Islamic.
All right.
But the way they dress, for example, Muslims dress in the West or in other countries, non-Muslim countries, for example, the way that we dress in this Islamic country, women wear chador, as they call it, this black, long clothing that yes. women use. This may be different from women clothing in other country.
Yes.
So this is Muslim culture.
All right.
But the Islamic culture is hijab. The concept that a woman should practice modesty. Mm. Okay. So
So the form, the color, and all of that has to do with local
different.
Cultures.
Yeah.
All
right. So the enemy comes and it starts attacking on these examples. Mm. Or manifestations of that Islamic culture that I talked about. So these
now, when you say the enemy, Sheikh, whom do you mean?
I mean the idea that cannot get along with this, with this culture.
All right.
The idea that cannot tolerate or cannot see that a certain number of people. By using these sorts of manifestations, this culture are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or other other ideas.
All right.
That are absorbing.
Are you referring
ideas.
To the Western,
of course,
dominant culture that we have all around the globe today?
Of course, the Western
which
culture represents, I think,
Eastern countries which are non-Muslims.
Of course. So they right. could be named as one of the enemies. They're not right. the only enemy of this culture, Islamic culture, but the first in the line.
Now, when we say the Western culture, we mean those values that are against the Islamic values, not those Western values which are hand in hand with Islamic values.
Not just the ones that are against. No, I mean the enemy is the one that is employing those deviated or deviant cultures against Islamic culture in order forbidding Islamic culture.
So
that is that is waging war against Islamic Islamic culture.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. We are going for a break. Please join us afterwards.
The term jihad is found in 23 verses of the Holy Quran defined as the struggle in the way of Allah has often been misconceived and narrowed down to refer only to the struggle against those who fight against Islam to protect the faith. In fact, the major meaning of jihad is the struggle in our life to fulfill our duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which of course is the first and last of the struggles of a Muslim, which incorporates all other struggles towards one's parents, family and community, extending towards a betterment of the global society. Within the arena of jihad in our lives, which would be classified under the major jihad, we find further classification which, if understood, will help us gain control over these areas and come out victorious. Some of these areas that a human will find need to struggle in would be earning a living, family and marriage, social dealings, bringing up children, and contributing to the betterment of society by sacrificing time, contributing knowledge, and sharing finances. These areas provide enough challenges on a human being that make a human's life useful, productive, and satisfying if taken on. At the end of every struggle, there are rewards. These rewards are in the progress of life in the material, physical, moral, intellectual, and emotional realms, depending on the struggle entered into. Islam in this way gives man purpose, meaning and motivation to continue when life and problems would otherwise seem insurmountable and unfair. Understanding the philosophy of jihad as a means of progress and teaching them to the youth, we may find a way to counteract youth motivation issues, depression, a lack of meaning and purposefulness in life, and realize a greater degree of individual contribution towards society for the betterment of the society. Life is a battle, and everyone can be a winner.
Thank you for watching, dear viewers. Let me send my salams to Sheikh Musharraf from London. Are you with us, Sheikh?
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you. Welcome to our program one more time.
Thank you very much.
Sheikh, on the website radicalmiddleway.org, and also you, dear viewers, it is about cultural jihad, making Islam matter. As Muslims, we are required to restate Islam's middle way as embodied in mainstream Islamic culture and civilization over the centuries. Our vision of the middle way must be authentic, articulate, and fully relevant to the pluralistic realities of the global age. But abstract formulations of views are never effective in the abstract. They need human faces that embody them in the eyes of the people. For Muslims, Sheikh, living in the West, the future lies not in the tinkering of theology, but in the production of culture. Could you please clarify it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, West in itself is a cradle for many cultures. There are different type of cultures living together here, and different ethnicity and different type of people. As the world is turning into a global village, you know, we see we are finding more and more people and culture, they are coming together.
Yeah.
And in that situation, we need to preserve our own values. Because the values of Islam, they think about the present, about the past, about the future, about this life, about hereafter, and everything is considered in the values of Islam.
Sure.
And similarly, the culture of Islam, the culture in itself, here in the Western values, they don't take consider religion to be an entity which have got its own culture, but Islam has got its own culture and messages passed through the culture also. So.
Sure.
The Western culture, when we see in itself, like today, body language in itself passes on messages. Similarly, the way we dress, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we act with other ethnicities and different people,
yeah.
They also pass on the messages. So the message of Islam, to preserve that message in its original form, it's necessary to confine to the Islamic culture.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, we have got different cultures. There, if modesty and other values, they are preserved, we don't mind taking off addresses of other people, like in the Asian or Western or African or any other dresses, they can be absorbed by Islam, and as far as the modesty is not given up or modesty is taken care of. So similarly, the values of Islam, the Islamic values, I've seen, if you come to United Kingdom where the Muslim population is quite, being in minority, but it's a quite a big minority here in United Kingdom, we have seen that too many things and Islamic values have been adopted by the Western people in themselves, and they like to learn a lot from Islam, and there's too much with Islam to offer culturally, socially, and otherwise also.
You think this
so
is the,
think
a way of production?
Situation,
you think it is a way of production?
Yeah, it's a way of, I think as the cultures, they're coming together, different communities are coming together.
Yeah.
There are too many things that it's in this evolution, the Islam is also taking part.
Sure.
With changing things and with everything, Islam has too much to offer in this, but to offer it in its original form, that's also needs good people to offer and to preach about Islam in a cultural manner.
Thank you, Sheikh. Thank you so much. Brother, we are with you.
Thank you. Sheikh Muhammadi, would you please elaborate a little bit more about taking friends which belong to the non-Muslim community and its different aspects?
Well, actually, with regard to this point, one of the most important points with regard to this issue is that one of the ways for doing cultural jihad, one of the aspects of cultural jihad, is to preserve this Islamic jihad that I explained.
Yes.
Okay, this Islamic, Islamic culture that I explained. So Muslims should act in a way that their own culture, their Islamic culture is preserved. I'm not talking about the Muslim cultures. They might be different. As long as they are in line with Islamic cultures, they're okay.
So you're making a differentiation here between Islamic and Muslim.
Yeah, of course. So as I differentiated between these two, they are different. Okay. So what you are calling for, what we are standing for, is Islamic culture and not necessarily Muslims. Culture,
All right.
Even though it might be sometimes, you know, the Muslim culture might be, you know, sometimes the manifestation of Islamic cultures, but not necessarily in line with Islamic culture, and that is why sometimes we reject some Muslims' culture, even though it may seem a sort of, you know, element.
Because it goes against Islamic.
Yeah,
values.
Because it goes against Islamic values. Right. So, as I said, you know, we have this responsibility. Of course, especially the ones who are living in the West, who are a good attack to, you know, this cultural warfare. So they have to have in mind that they have to preserve this culture, this Islamic culture that they have. So one of the ways, you know, there are many methods in order for preserving. I may talk about some of these points, but one of the ways is to build a sort of Islamic lifestyle,
yes,
in Western countries, and it should be first defined by ulamas,
right,
by, you know, by the ones.
Let us go back thinkers. To that after a while. I'm just going to ask Sheikh Musharraf Husseini another question here. First of all, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for coming over to our studio in London. Now, the concept of amr bil ma'roof wa nahy anil munkar, to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. This concept, is it unknown in the West? For example, I'm thinking about a specific author from the West which wrote a book about this Islamic concept of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And he would give us an example from the subways of New York, where you would see a lady actually being raped and no one would do anything about it. What role has this concept, enjoin the good and forbid the evil, in the Western culture?
First of all, I would like to say that this enjoining good and forbidding evil in itself is in human nature. It's not just that Islamic values are saying and Islam rules about enjoining good and forbidding evil. It's there in the human, but you know, the West, the main theme which has been in the Western society.
Yes.
The main point is that it's my business, it's my life. Everybody is turned into an individual, and you have to mind your own business, and you have,
yes,
to decide about your own life. And everybody has become a small circle in itself, and nobody is bothered about it. This thing has inculcated, and this has been taught in schools, through cinema, through talks, shows, and through everything. We have seen that everybody's being taught, oh, it's my business, it's my business, it's my life, and
yes,
I know how to do with it.
The authority,
so I'm not
would
bothered
take,
about other people.
The authority would take,
yeah,
care of it,
so,
and so on.
Yeah, so, but the individually, the people have shrunk from enjoying good and forbidding evil. But even then, when it bothers other people, people do take steps.
Yes.
But where the Muslims are there, where the Muslim society is there, with the preaching and with the talk shows and other ways, it's there. But it's we can say it has shrunk. It is not omitted totally from the Western society. Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar.
All right. Now, living in a country which of some Muslims is called Darul Islam, the abode of Islam in Europe, England, with its high Muslim population, we see the different Muslim clothes that we have in the different cities of England. For example, we have the Pakistani outfit or the dishdasha and so on. Should we advertise traditional Muslim clothes in the West by those minority Muslims living there?
I think, in my opinion, if everything is accepted here and people do like here, I remember once I was in the United States just after 9/11, and I had to take a flight. I forgot, I didn't realize that I have to come back by air, and I have to go and travel by air. And I was just wearing my own traditional Pakistani dress, shalwar kameez there.
All right.
And on the airport, everybody was looking, and they were, I don't think that, it's just more in the press and more in the, more is publicized than in reality people do like, and they engage. But if you are wearing that in a very positive manner, and you are, your behavior is positive, you give a smile to them, talk to them, you don't shrink, you don't wear that dress to separate yourself, but you present yourself, then it's okay. I think that how you present it, that also matters.
But Sheikh, we see this westernization of clothes among Muslims, even in Muslim countries. Is it something to advertise, or should we fight against non-Muslim clothes? Should we keep our traditional clothes?
In my opinion, I don't think there's something Muslim clothes or non-Muslim clothes. The clothes that give you modesty, that cover you, in previous times, the clothes were meant to cover you and to protect you from weather conditions. But now, like your the body language, the clothes also pass on the message to you. So if that message is not something which is contrary to modesty of a person, or it's not posing a threat to your values, then it's okay. If the dress is, it can be a trouser, Western trouser, or it can be Asian dress, or it can be an African dress.
Yes.
It can be any dress.
Thank you very much.
As far as the modesty of a person is preserved, and it's not, touching the values of modesty.
Thank you very much. Now, Sheikh Mohammed, you heard the response of Sheikh Musharraf Husseini. He was emphasizing on the values more than the external outfit and so on. But we still see youth, especially in the West, among Muslim communities, emphasizing on clothes which come from North Africa, from Middle East, and the Indian subcontinent. Why is it so? We still see this attraction.
Actually, I'd like to complete what I started.
All right.
Which is, I think Muslims over there in, non-Islamic countries, they have this responsibility to preserve their culture, their Islamic culture. And in order for preserving this Islamic culture, there are some ways, some methods.
Does it include clothes
I think it may include even clothes. So sometimes, because the experience proved this, that, having a sort of, this Islamic clothes that Muslims use in the West, as I said, whether it's a Pakistani outfit, or it's Iranian one, or another ethnicity, or any other clothing, as long as it's Islamic, I think it would help this integrity between Muslims in the West, and it would help the cause, this very important point to have an Islamic lifestyle. Even though, as I want to emphasize on the fact that my brother mentioned that, these values that he referred to them as values, and I referred to them as Islamic culture, Islamic culture that is coming from jurisprudential rulings, that is coming from, moralities, ethics, and principles of Islam. Those are, of course, much more importance than the appearance of us, the manifestations of those beliefs. But yet, these manifestations are of importance as well. So I think it may help building a sort of life, Islamic lifestyle for other. Actually, there are other methods. One of which may be, Islamic clothing.
All right, Sheikh. About Arabic words used by active Muslims in the West, or even here in the Middle East. Words that when the two Muslims see each other, they start to greet each other with Assalamu alaikum, depending on which country they come from and what language they speak. They emphasize on the Arabic word Assalamu alaikum. Or when you say how are you, they respond Alhamdulillah. Or we have this culture in Philly, Philadelphia, Northern America, that among the Afro-American and the Hispanics, that they say what's up, akh? They use the word akh as for brother instead of brother. They use the word akh, and when they go for a hairstyle, they tell the hairstylist to give me the sunnah. You know, this culture that is mixing. Even in France, we have this mixing with the non-Muslim population. Should we advertise this kind of social interaction between Muslims and non-Muslims?
Actually, I think, as I said, I think these sorts of manifestations, right, as I said, those are just manifestations. Some of them are just some Muslim cultures, not Islamic cultures necessarily. But, you know, accenting these sorts of, you know, manifestations in a life that in which you cannot, rarely see Islamic sign or Islamic slogan, I think that it may help a lot to that cause that I talked about, you know, that Islamic lifestyle. Yet, what is much more important than this is, you know, that Islamic culture that we're talking about. One of the most important Islamic cultures is morality. You know, so if you just, you know, try to use this word akh and other words, you know, it may not necessarily leads to you being a good Muslim or you know, a practicing Muslim. But if you have if you try to preserve Islamic moralities, ethical principles of Islam or humanistic even moralities, that is shared with all human beings. If you try to practice those, I think it would be of more effect than those manifestations that I talked about.
Thank you very much. Please join us after a short break.
The good news is that the global jihad is almost over. As bin Laden defined it. It was dying well before he did, and now it's on its last legs. Opinion polls from all over the Muslim world show that there is very little interest among Muslims in a global holy war against the West, against the far enemy. The supply of young men willing to fight and die for this cause is dwindling. The supply of money, just as important, more important perhaps, the supply of money to this activity is also dwindling. The wealthy fanatics who were previously sponsoring this kind of activity are now less generous. What does that mean for us in the West? Does it mean we can break out the champagne, wash our hands off it, disengage, sleep easy at night? No. Disengagement is not an option. Because if you let local jihad survive, it becomes international jihad. And so there's now a lot of different violent jihads all over the world. In Somalia, in Mali, in Nigeria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, Pakistan. There are groups that claim to be the inheritors of the legacy of Osama bin Laden. But if you look closely, they're not fighting a global jihad. They're fighting battles over much narrower issues. Usually it has to do with ethnicity or race or sectarianism. Or it's a power struggle. More often than not, it's a power struggle in one country or even a small region within one country. Occasionally they will go across a border from Iraq to Syria, from Mali to Algeria, from Somalia to Kenya, but they are not fighting a global jihad against some far enemy.
Thank you for watching, dear viewers. Yes, Brother Wahid, yes. There are some good news. The
right.
Expert tells us about finishing, and he says, of course, let me share it with Sheikh Musharraf from London. Sheikh Musharraf, the expert in the clip says, the good news is that the global jihad is almost over, as bin Laden defined it. Does it mean we can wash our hands over, disengage and sleep easy at night? No, disengagement is not an option, because if you let violent local jihad survive, it becomes international jihad by the inheritors of the legacy of bin Laden. How can we engage, Sheikh, in reclaiming the word jihad?
Yeah, actually, jihad has got different meaning for different people. In my opinion, it is not something offensive that you start offending something that you are not convinced of, or you don't like something and you start offending. In Islamic values, we see that jihad is in itself a struggle to preserve the values of Islam, to preserve the teachings of Islam, to preserve the culture of Islam.
Sure.
And for that purpose, you utilize the tool of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar, and joining good and forbidding evil. That's through convincing. Islam doesn't say that you control the bodies of the people. It says that you should convince others to change the way of thinking of the people. So that jihad, if you consider it as an offensive war and battle that we tear off the clothes and other things that we don't like and the values should be shunned, no, we need to convince the people and tell them the good things in the Islamic values.
Yes.
And the negative thing in other things, so that the people are themselves convinced. And I think once the people are convinced, they act more in a better form, and they're with a more understanding and the reality of the values of Islam. So in this sense, if we take the...
Sheikh, unfortunately, this is the definition of bin Laden. You know, this is kind of bin Ladenism that the expert is trying to clarify it. That is, it is
I
almost
don't consider
over.
Osama bin Laden to be defining Islam. He was nobody in Islam. He was not
sure.
An Islamic scholar at all, and he had a definite school and definite close vision. So we don't consider him as define Islam. No school of thought of the world defines him, takes him as a leader of their school of thought, you know.
Right.
So his values, an individual can come up. There are different individuals coming up in different ways. We don't know who is coming from where. But if we consider those who are the ulama of Islam and consider of the accepted schools of thought of Islam, nobody takes that thing that we are having a jihad of that sense. Their concept of jihad is totally different than the Islamic jihad. In Islam, jihad is a struggle to convince others, to bring others in and tell them what is good and what bad. And
yes,
that
sir.
Comes with Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar, not with killing, not with bullets, not with force.
Sheikh, the point is here, in what way can we define it truly, you know, reclaim the word? Because there isn't wrong picture for the people around the world about jihad, unfortunately. In what way? Why do you recommend?
Yeah, we should take our own. Yeah, we have been working here, for example, for here, who have been talking about Islam, preaching about Islam from different schools. Though I don't say that only the Ja'fari school of thought, all other school of thought, even different schools of thought of Ahl Sunnah, they have been preaching. And
yeah.
When we do that with Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, we have seen too many people who follow other cultures, who have other cultures and other values. They like our culture. They like what is presented by Islam. But if we present to them, but if you start forcing things on the others, you know, the things
you
that
mean
come with force,
you mean education. You mean education can be of help.
Education, awareness, and then in other ways, practicing. Our practice in itself preaches points to others.
Thank
awareness
you.
Has there has to be awareness. But I would like to say that in West, what I've seen personally, that negative thing are preached too much about Islam, and that has become a tool of enhancing the Islamophobia here.
Sure.
Otherwise, the values of Islam, what we see, the culture of Islam, and the other values which are presented by Islam are very much liked by, you know, for example, our culture, our values, they have got a very strong logical background. They are very much rational. And in the Western countries, people accept logic and rationality a lot. They care for rationality, they care for logic. So if anything is presented with logic and rationality, that will make a place in the heart and mind of people. And people do accept it. And we have seen they have been accepting different things and different ideas. And they've been supportive that I'm talking about the people, not about the system, not about the media, not about other things. No doubt, they are different. The media, they go on different tracks and their plans are different. But general public, they do accept the values of Islam when they're convinced and they come to know. Even, for example, say here, it's a usual thing on the weekends, people go and drink. But I've seen too many people, they negate. They said, no, the Islam, what Islam is teaching, don't drink. They've got very positive aspects. They are in their senses, they're in their mind, and they've got positive values. Even on the drinking, which is very much, people think that in the West, the people that can't live without drinking. Here, even there are areas in the West where people don't drink at all. So the values, there is a lot of space to present our values with logic, with rationality, and create awareness. And that awareness is from which the Islamophobic forces who want to create Islamophobia,
no doubt, yes,
they're scared of that because people will accept Islamic values.
Thank you, Sheikh. Thank you so much. Brother, and I guess the media has the key role in reclaiming the word, as we are trying, inshallah, to do it.
Inshallah, inshallah ta'ala. Sheikh Muhammadi, we talked about the Arabic Muslim words. Now emphasize on Muslim words, not only pure Arabic, but Arabic Muslim words that are used among Muslims in the West. Now I want to shed light upon Western words used among Muslims in Muslim-dominated countries. Like we have words like merci, pardon, ciao, bye, and so on. Shouldn't we keep our languages pure? Keep them, if they are Persian, if they are Arabic, keep them Arabic. And if there are new tools coming in with the technology and so on, you know, construct or build new words for them instead of borrowing those words from the West. My question is, Sheikh, fighting against foreign words as a cultural jihad, or the negative influence that the Western culture can have among Muslim-dominated countries. How can you resolve it? How can you fight against it? Should we care about it, or should we just
actually
let it go?
It might be important, but it's not that much important as I understand it. You know, there are many other serious problems that we have in our Islamic countries, you know, the mentality, of unfortunately, the mentality, westernized mentality that some so-called Muslim,
but this is
Islamic
one of
countries
them.
Living, are living. So
but would you consider this as
this
one
is,
of them?
This is the maybe one of the minute ones.
All right.
Even though it may lead to, you know, other stages, other levels, of course, maybe after a very, very, very long time.
But we see that even the Wali al-Faqih, Sayyid Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, even he emphasizes on this.
Of course.
To keep the language pure.
Of course.
Don't use or borrow Western words or Eastern words.
Sure. But what is important, you know, if you refer to the other quotations of the Supreme Leader, you will find that the problem that we this is just one of the, as I said, one of the manifestations of what the disease that we are suffering from. Mm-hmm. You know, just using the word mercy or other pardon or things like that, or words like or non-Islamic words.
But that has to do with the mentality that you were speaking about.
Not necessarily, but of course, as I said, you know, there are some symptoms that show us that there is a very strong disease, you know, and many other symptoms. There are other symptoms that we can see. For example, you know, and this, I think one of these disease, or one of the manifestations, or the biggest manifestation of this disease, is this westernized culture of Muslims, not just using foreign words.
All right.
You know, this mentality that if we want to be modern, if we want to have technology, we have to be westernized. Mm-hmm. This is very important. And if you refer to the words of
And it usually starts with the external things, like clothes, words that you use.
Yeah.
It's never the mentality, the good values from the West.
I may disagree with you on this. It may not start with these words. It may lead to...
No, with clothes and words.
I think, I know it starts with other we're not talking about the way that they invaded Muslim countries. I think what is very important at this moment is the culture or the cultural warfare against Muslims in the West, not the ones we're living. Because if we can talk about the cultural disease that we have in Muslim countries, but I think it might not be that much interesting for the ones who are watching us, because they are, they are looking for a sort of as you said, a sort of solution for their own problem, for the problem that they are suffering from, which is the westernized culture that has been attacking this culture, Islamic culture, from a long time ago. So what is the answer to this question? I think one of the best answers to this, to the attack that is coming from the other side, is a counterattack to them. Mm-hmm. Counterattack to this cultural warfare that... Let me just... Actually, my brother referred to some of the ways. But I just want to remind you of some of the ways that the Holy Prophet practiced and deployed doing jihad, cultural jihad, with the Jahili culture. It's exactly like that. They call it modern Jahili era. So one of them is that Islam or the Holy Prophet did not eradicate
everything
at the time the Jahili culture. This is not the way, it doesn't work. We cannot eradicate. These Salafis sometimes say we have to fight whatever it is, even soccer. It's a bid'ah. It's not in Islam. Everything is bid'ah. But other than the ones that existed at the time of the Holy Prophet. So this is not the way. Eradication is not the way. And the second important point is that this process must be followed in a sort of gradual way. Okay, it should not be overnight or with a snap.
It should be reform.
It should be a gradual process.
Right. So,
just like the Holy Prophet did it. And inshallah, if you have time, I can
inshallah
talk more
ta'ala
about this.
Let's go over to Ms. Sadiqiyan. What have you prepared for us?
In the short time we have, dear viewers and Brother Wahid, I would like to borrow from some words of our dear viewer on our Facebook page, a dear sister, Hope Victory. Thank you again. Jihad is not blowing up oneself. Suicide is a sin in Islam. Beautifully mentioned. Jihad is not killing innocent people. Jihad is not fighting out of anger or hatred. Jihad is not killing others just because they don't agree with you. Jihad is not killing others just because they are not Muslims. It literally means to struggle and strive. Jihad is struggling or striving in the same way or for the sake of Allah. Do we have time to have a side report? So thank you, dear viewers, for staying with us. Don't forget to tune in next time, same time here. May Allah be with you in life, good strength, and peace be upon you. Take care.
Don't forget us in your prayers. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much.